Well, I'm glad you guys are here today. Glad you chose to join us for worship and pray that the Lord would stimulate your thoughts and your heart toward what He wants to say to you today. First thing I want to start with is if you're a dad here today, I want to ask you, if you can, to stand up. And I want to say thank you to you. I am consider myself one of the, you guys keep standing and we'll have the other guys stand in just a second, but I consider myself truly blessed because I had a dad that loved me. He wasn't perfect, but he loved me and did so many things for me. And I had, my dad died, but my father-in-law, I'm glad he's here today. And I appreciate the investment that they have made in our family and in our life. But you know, I want to ask all of you that are men here today to stand up. Because there is, you know, the world is telling us that people can choose what they want to be. God created male and female. Amen. Period. Amen. And He did it for a reason. The struggle that we have is that we don't, I'm not talking about we here at the church, but the we in the world, we don't realize that God is our creator. We were not a product of evolution. We are a product of God's creation. And God created us male and female for a reason. He, you know, sometimes we feel like, ladies, you just don't get us. But the reality is, God has created us like a piece of a puzzle. And that other piece of the puzzle is something that is beautiful and unique and is a representation of God. But you're that too. I want you to know, guys, you are. God has not made a mistake with you. He has created you who you are and how you are for a reason. And so today I want to pray for all the men that are here today, because we're living in a world where in a lot of ways people want to feminize men. And that's not what God planned. It doesn't mean that we're not both equal. We're both created in the image of God. But you're created to be who you are. And rest in that. Claim that for yourself and teach that to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if God allows you to live that long. Let's pray together. Lord, today we want to first of all thank you for being a perfect father to us. Thank you for demonstrating what fatherhood is all about spiritually in our life. Thank you, Lord, that by your grace and your mercy, you have created us as males. And I thank you for each and every male that is in this room. I thank you for their yearning passion for you. I thank you, Lord, even though it may have been a struggle growing up and they didn't have a great father, I thank you that you have given them everything necessary to be the best dad that they can be here. Lord, I pray for all of us men. I pray that we will not allow our culture to define us, but we would let you define us. Let you speak into us. Let you be the one that reveals to us how we are to live, how we're to act, how we're to raise our kids. Lord, I pray for each and every man that is here today, whether you have children, whether you have a child that looks to you as a father figure in their life, whatever your situation is or circumstance, I may not know that, but I pray that God would give you favor with that child. And I pray that you would make an impact in their life, a legacy that will live on through future generations that we can't go to. And one day, what a blessing it's going to be to see how God used that legacy in the lives of families that we never got to go to. We love you, Lord, and we pray that you'll help us to think like you think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Today, I just kind of want to share my heart about a few things here. Paul Harvey, he tells this story about Gray Baker going golfing in Jackson, Mississippi. He had taken his 3-year-old grandson, Trevor, along as a companion. He was speaking and said, "The boy has been learning the game by watching me. And last week, Grandpa Baker bought the lad, the child, a set of golf clubs of his own. And this past weekend, they were all gathering together in the family for a family cookout in the backyard. And the little boy said, who learned golf by observing Grandpa, announced, 'Watch me.' And he said a no-no word. And he threw his golf club up into the pear tree." You know, our kids learn from us not so much by what we say to them, but what we show them. That's how they learn. I say to couples that are getting married, don't have kids yet, I said, you're building an environment where you can teach your child how to have a good relationship. A good relationship with the same sex and a good relationship with the opposite sex. A good relationship, period, in their life. As we think of the worldly evidence of the favor that God has placed on fathers, have you seen movies where it talks about how bad their childhood was? And even though that child was beaten, abused, how much they still love their father and want their father's approval, their stamp of approval on their life? What is that? We don't earn that. That's something only God can give. It's something that only God can do in the life of a child to make them want the approval of their father. In a 26-year-long study, researchers found that the number one factor in developing empathy in children was father involvement. We're living in a day where there's mass shooting. And you know what they have found about those who practice mass shootings? All of them. Not part of them, but all of them. When they begin to dig in their past, discover an absentee father. Absentee, sometimes because the father's gone, and sometimes absentee because the father's there, but he's ignoring his child. You and I have been given a blessing from God to raise children. The Word of God says children are a blessing from God. They're a gift to us. And as we look into this together, I found this quote. It says, a father loves with his heart, provides with his hands, and leaves a legacy with his life. That's a good sermon. Those three things. If you and I could learn to practice those three things before our kids, not that we're always going to be perfect, not that there's going to be times when your child will not want to listen to you, you're still teaching because you're living what we're talking about. No man or woman ever had a nobler challenge or a higher privilege than to bring up a child for God. And whenever we slight that privilege or neglect that ministry for anything else, we live to mourn it in heartache and grief. That was spoken by Vance Havner. I want to talk to you today about a disciple-making dad. What are some qualities? I couldn't list them all, but I want to give you here three that will be applicable whether you're a single dad, whether you're married, any situation you're in. A disciple-making dad lives out his relationship with God. That's the most important thing. You know why so many kids depart from the church? It's because they have heard a dad tell them how important church is, how important a relationship with God is, but they haven't shown them that reality. They haven't lived that out before them. They have shown them what Jesus talked about in his great Sermon on the Mount. You know, a lot of times he would speak to the Pharisees about being hypocritical. He says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. Put in there, let your light shine before your child in such a way that he or she may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Sadly, too many people today have seen a bad example of who God is. I mean, it's just reality of where we're living and what we're going through. You can be the generation that changes that. You can be the ones who demonstrate to your kids what it's like to have a relationship with God. Not one that's just words, but one that is actually a lifestyle. Think about this. Has your child seen you reading the Word? I'm not saying that you do it for that purpose. I'm saying if your child is looking at you, do they see a depth of relationship? When you bring your children to church, sometimes do you drop them off and say, you need this? When in reality, we all need it, don't we? We all need a quality relationship with Jesus Christ. Ideal parent, this is what James Dobson says. Ideal parenting is modeled after the relationship between God and man. Think on that. Ideal parenting. It's modeled by your relationship with God. If you're living your life day by day and you are not demonstrating to your child what it means to have a relationship with God, you are going to be sad one day. When you realize your child does not know God, does not want to know God. And you're going to try as you may, to make them want what you have. The way to make them want what you have is to live it, to believe it, that it's true. The greatest benefit, Oswald Chambers said this, the greatest benefits conferred on human life, fatherhood, motherhood, childhood, home, become the greatest curse if Jesus Christ is not the head. It says in the scriptures, unless the Lord builds the house. You know, a lot of times we just think of that as the church. But you think about it as your home. As I think about it as my home. Unless the Lord builds your house, you're going to labor in vain. You're going to keep striving over and over again. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. It's going to be a struggle. You know, there were many things my dad taught me about God without telling me about God. He did not tell me about the importance of following Christ. He showed me by his lifestyle. He didn't tell me that I need to be a generous person. He showed me what generosity looked like. He didn't tell me I needed to be more honest. He showed me by the way he lived, by the way he handled relationships in his life. He didn't tell me I need to be a kind person. He showed me that. He didn't tell me that I need to be a grace giver. He did that before me. Many times. He didn't tell me that I need to learn to forgive. He showed me. He showed me in the relationships that he had. I would say my dad was most definitely a people person. And that was one of the things that he instilled in me. Value other people. Don't think that you're the greatest thing, you're God's gift to the world. Recognize who you are and recognize the value in another person. That's what God taught me. That's what God showed me through my father and through the way that he lives. Are you showing that to your children? Are you showing it to your grandchildren? Are you showing it to your great-grandchildren? Are you revealing to them what the Father is like by the way that you live? That can be harsh sometimes, can't it? It can be hard to do. But hey, the most successful fathers are those who focus on their relationship with God first. And out of that relationship with God, there comes the learning. There God shows your kids what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. The second thing that a disciple-making dad does is a disciple-making dad honors his wife. He honors his wife. If you have your Bible with you, turn to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And God was telling the children of Israel through his prophets his love for them, but their failure to live up to the blessings that he had given to them. One of those is in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, or it starts with verse 10. So he talks about the family. Do we not all have one Father? God the Father. Has not one God created us? So only one God brought us into life. Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother, so that as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakens and answers, or who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts. This is another thing you do. This is our focal point. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, why do you do this? You following with me? You're asking the question, or they were asking the question, why do you do this? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Those words are not spoken simply as a judgment, but as a statement of discipline. Do you realize how far you have fallen? You have fallen by not considering the marriage covenant something that is significant and important. You have, in essence, blasphemed a gift that I have given to you. A message, a commandment, a commitment, a covenant, whatever you want to call it. The reality is, marriage is something that was not designed by man. If it was, we'd do it a different way. But God designed the marriage covenant to be one man, one woman for life. I know there are complications. I know that there are difficulties. But folks, we need to continue to hold that same standard. We need to speak when God has given us something that is a blessing to us. And if you're a man here today that is in a marriage covenant with another woman, or if you are a young person, young adult here today, and you're wanting to get married someday, please listen to me. This is not an insignificant thing. It's not just a legal document. It is something that God has designed to make our lives better. You may say, you're not married to my husband or wife. God knows the commitments that we've made. God knows the covenants that we've made. And He expects us to live up to those. To live up to the commitments God has witnessed us making in that ceremony. If you think about your own home, are you just trying to survive? Are you just trying to get by, and you've had some struggles and you've had some problems? Are you willing to work to make your marriage the best it can possibly be? That's when you're going to show your kids what it's like. You're going to model it before them, how to work through relational problems in your life. And our world needs to see that today. The last thing I want to share with you is a disciple-making dad trains his child in the way he or she should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he or she should go. When you think about your life, are you doing that with your children? Are you doing that with your grandchildren? Are you helping them to grow and to become everything God wants for them to be? You know, sometimes you look at this. I remember reading when my kids were real young a book by Chuck Swindoll who talked about this verse. And he said, the word train, when you train a child up, you are actually training them by their bent, how they are already bent to live. You are training them according to that. You're not training them to be who you want for them to be or to act the way that you want for them to act. You are training them according to how God has created them. See, that's one of the things when you stop and think about, that's one of the things that if you believe that you are part of an evolutionary process, you're not going to think like that. I'm just telling you, you're not. You're going to think about how everybody just evolved into who they are. No. God created you. He created you special and unique. You remember hearing in the video one of the things he said? Is he said, "I think one of God's greatest creations is you." He didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what he meant. He said, you, my child, are one of God's greatest creations. I know when your child is being obnoxious and difficult, it's hard for you to feel that. But God truly did create each person special and unique. Think about this. He gave everybody, not just some people, kind of lumped in a group, but he gave everybody their own fingerprint. The Word of God says he knows the hairs that are on your head are not there. He is the God who is so intimately involved in your life as his child that he is willing to look at you and tell you what? That he loves you. That he loves you unconditionally. A disciple-making dad models the mission God has given to us. Are you modeling that mission before your kids? A disciple-making dad models unconditional love to his kids. You know, they've discovered that one of the most important things about men in church is they don't have confidence that God loves them. I want to tell you here today that God loves you. He loves you so very much that he was willing to send his only son to die on the cross so that you and him might spend eternity together. That's a tremendous amount of love. A disciple-making dad models accountability. Models accountability. Whether it's with their spouse or it's with some other friends, a few friends. But they live that kind of lifestyle out, and their kid sees that. Their child acknowledges that they are doing that. A disciple-making dad models how to die in the Lord. It's not something we always talk about, is it? It's kind of uncomfortable to talk about the day I die. But you know what? I want my kids to know, I believe with all of my heart, that God has prepared a home for me. And I'm not going to be afraid of death. I may be a person who wants to live longer, but when God says, it's your time, I want to be a person that shows my kids, this is how you die when you have a relationship with the Lord. This is how you not only live, but this is how you die when you go home to be with the Lord. There is a future. There is a destiny. And you know what? We model that by the way we die. Who is looking to you? Who is looking at you to see if you model the convictions that you say you do? Who's looking at your life? Who's watching you? Who's at a place where they see somebody who's genuine, authentic, and is living for Christ? That's a model set before us. God himself wants for us to know his will. He wants us to know it so much that he gave his Holy Spirit to us that we might learn what the will of God is. And we might learn to live with the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we live with those qualities in our life, we are demonstrating to our kids, our grandkids, or if you have great-grandkids, you are demonstrating to them what it means to be a disciple maker. You're showing them the truth of how Jesus lived when he was here on earth. Are you being that disciple-making dad in the life of your kids? Let's pray together.